You're listening to ORN with Austin and Ashley.
Depressing, like when I started seeing the live stream stuff and hearing the, you know, the cue music and all that, and I was just like, I was immediately missing it.
I know.
So it's like,
I know, and just, and I've got friends on Facebook and Twitter, they're there, and you know, posting all kind of pictures, and I'm just like,
did they get into
it's
the
not
panel?
Fair? Yeah, some of them did.
Wow.
But yeah, I know.
I was,
which is
listen,
great.
Today I was at work training, so I couldn't, like, it was weird. Training, we went to lunch right when the panel was about to start. So it was perfect timing. I was like, okay. So I think the panel should be an hour. I've got an hour for lunch. We don't have to start back training until 1. So I'll be able to ride this out and I'll be able to watch the trailer and jump back into training and I'll be able to focus the rest of the day. And then, of course, like, I'm watching everything. I'm enjoying it and having a great lunch. And then they're still going. 1 o'clock rolls around. And I'm like, no. And then it's like, nope, they start up and we get the ball rolling. So I had to pause it. And then my phone, like within minutes, I think it basically, I stopped right at the end. And then my phone just started blowing up. Like I think you were texting me and Ray was texting me and Candy was texting me. And like everybody was just blowing my phone up. Like, did you see it? Did you see? Hey, what's up? What's up? And I'm like, oh my God. And so I just turned my phone over. Like, I didn't want to look at it the rest of the day. So I went radio silent for a few hours. So I finished training at work. And then once we were done, then I just like, right, I had to wait for Candy to get home. And then me and her watched it together.
I wonder why you didn't respond to me.
Yeah, like, I just went because I was like, I got blew up at work because I was in the middle of training. And then I was looking over at my phone because I kept hearing it vibrate. And it was just, it kept going off. And it wasn't even, I think you only text me like once. But I think Ray texted me like 13 or 14 times. Like, it was just crazy. And then Candy was texting me a few times. It was insane. I was like wanting to be there in the moment and couldn't, and just being super depressed about it.
Oh, but today was your last day of training, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least for the week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're done for the week, yeah.
Yeah, so you got Saturday and Sunday to sit there and watch YouTube all day.
Oh, I mean, once we got off work, man, that was like, that's all I did was watch that trailer over and over and over.
Oh, my gosh. I have to. I've probably watched it a good 15 or 20 times. Literally. 15 or 20. And I'm going to admit it. I did tear up a little bit.
Man.
I teared up in a couple spots.
It's so weird. I mean, I guess I'm not going to jump ahead yet, but I have, yeah, talking about tearing up or talking about just having the, like, being joyful watching that trailer. Like,
yes.
That is the word I came up with, was I was just joyful.
Yes. Yes. All right. So without further ado, let's break down this trailer. First off, we now have a title for the film.
And they did what I thought they were going to do. They would not say the title until they revealed the teaser. What a move. That I felt so good about it.
Oh, yeah. And were you surprised at the title?
I feel like that was a rumor got out that was close to that title, or either got it. I can't remember. It was still a surprise. I mean, I wasn't thinking they were going to go that route, but when they did, it just kind of felt good, but it also posed questions. Like, Candy immediately started saying things that I was like, that's a good question. That's a good question.
So, yeah, I was under the impression that the rumors that I heard were like Wheel of the Force, Balance of the Force, but not, I wasn't even close, man, to the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, really, I mean, think about that. Here we go again with a new title that sounds amazing. At first glance, you immediately feel good because we all have warm feelings about the word Skywalker. So we love it immediately. But it's just the rise of Skywalker. And immediately you go, what does that mean? And of course, the first thing Candy does is looks at me and goes, what does that mean? So is she a Skywalker? And I'm like, who knows? I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, you know, they're teasing us, you know? So
they are.
Who knows? That's probably what they're either trying to make us think that means, or that may be what it means. And then, of course, I don't want to go any further, but I have other theories, too, and we can talk about that later.
Well, no, let's just go ahead and get everything out as we're going and we're thinking. So we're not going to break down the trailer shot for shot, mm-hmm. but we're just going to talk about overall things we saw in the trailer, you know, at different points that really stuck out to us and what it may mean to the saga as a whole and to the film.
Uh-huh.
So while we're talking about this theory that is Rey a Skywalker, let's just point to the one scene in the teaser. And this is a very small teaser, by the way. I mean, it's like a minute and 30 seconds, maybe.
Something like that, yeah. Because I'm sure
something like that.
They're probably going to put the full trailer out some other time. Either they're going to put the trailer with Avengers, or it'll come out after Avengers comes out or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking more end of summer before we get the first full trailer. Yeah. I think. I mean, that's maybe San Diego Comic Con.
They may not. They may give us a bit. You're probably right, though. I mean, it's because this is probably about as much as they could do right now until they get done with more effect shots and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when you're saying, is she a Skywalker?
Right.
There was that scene in the trailer where her and Leia were hugging it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such an emotional that wasn't the scene that really teared me up, but that was such an emotional scene between them. The way Leia was holding her, mm-hmm. with her hand, you know, behind her head, you know, and the other one wrapped around her, and then they show you the front of Leia, and then they switch around shots and show you Rey's face in the hug and Rey crying. That's you know, I'm wondering if that's the moment where Leia admits to Rey who she is.
Right. I wonder. But then again, it's like if they do that, wow, what a big thing in The Force Awakens. And you know, there's even some stuff where I wonder if JJ, cuz you know, he uses footage that he wasn't able, you know, he had to cut out. But you know, I bet he also, you know, JJ's such a trickster. I wonder if he filmed a lot of different footage and maybe there's alternate scenes and maybe some scenes that go along with like the original story to the first movie. You know, before they started really, cuz you know, they really edited it a lot to edit. Anyway, they really cut it up, you know, more to, you know, they kind of had to rework the story. I think we talked about this before. So it's like, if they did that, that means maybe there were other things shot just in case, like alternates, maybe something that, you know, to a subplot, you know, and I think some of it had to do with Han's funeral or whatever, but I feel like maybe it was an easy enough kind of, you know, thing that they could just plug it in since this is still the after effects of The Force Awakens. Because The Last Jedi was sort of, you know, it bled right off of the first movie. So there was almost like one whole movie, one big scene that happens.
Yeah.
And then you get the after effects when that was really the original, like, breath after everything had happened, after Han had died and everything. I believe that's probably why these scenes will work.
Yeah, and like we said before, The Force Awakens, there was so much footage shot for The Force Awakens that wasn't used, like you were saying.
Yeah. And probably stuff that wouldn't make sense now, you know, because the story changed or whatever. And then it was perfect. They were able to fit it in because he was carefully saying that in the panel. He kept saying that he was, you know, that it had to make sense, and that the way they filmed these, it fit in, and they were able to build a story around those scenes. And I was like, that's it. That's how they did it. If he has enough material. I didn't even know, you know, at the time when after she passed, we didn't know that there was that much to go off of. So we were like, God, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So
this leads me to, and this one thing I'm about to say leads me to believe that this is very early on in the film, because if you look at the background, it's this jungly looking place, right?
Right.
Where they're hugging.
Yep.
And at the very beginning of the episode 9 panel, the first photo from the film that was shown was the Millennium Falcon and the landing strip pad was down.
Yep.
And they were off the ship, and it was like Chewbacca, Finn, Poe, Rey, C-3PO, and somebody else. I can't remember. But they were on a jungle planet.
Exactly.
And JJ said this takes place early on in the film.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that's probably exactly what it is. It's probably like their most recent base that they're on right now. Is probably what it is.
And I'm assuming, you know, that her finding out who she is early on is integral to the rest of the story.
Oh yeah, probably.
Right.
And then you hear I 100% agree, because then that leads into what you hear in the trailer. Cause like you immediately start hearing Luke talking, and that was one thing. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, we already get to hear Luke, new dialogue, you know? So he's talking about that everything from the Jedi, like the thousand year history or whatever, everything is new. Like yep. she's
we've taught you everything, you know. Yeah. We know. Yeah.
Yeah. And he keeps saying we. So that was interesting. He's saying that, and then like, you know, he's going over all that, and then it's like,
but is he referencing that because she has those books?
Well, that we yeah, exactly. I mean, but yeah, that's yeah. like part of it. But the fact that yeah. She has the book. She has everything that's left of the Jedi Order, and it's all in her now. And he says that. He's like, everything is in you. So that also goes I felt like that tied into the Rise of Skywalker, because if she is Skywalker, it means she's the – because he's saying, you are the last, you know, because Leia's gone. Or like maybe at this point something happens to Leia, or she's gone. You know, or are you just – somehow she's tied in with that somehow. But so she's kind of like the last in line. The new legacy somehow.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. he's saying something like that, so maybe that. But anyway, I could be completely wrong, because I could be wrong about the title. But, yeah, they – go ahead.
Well, I think the title just lends it – well, I think the title just lends itself to be so – it could go in several different ways, right? Mm-hmm. We could consider Rey a Skywalker. If that's what she turns out to be, it could be the redemption of Kylo Ren as the rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Here's another far-fetched idea. It could be maybe the rise of Luke coming back from the dead of the Jedi spiritual afterlife. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's what I was also thinking. Like, right, because he at the end of the trailer, what is it? What's the line he gives? No one's
at the end of his. No one's ever truly gone.
Right, and then you hear the evil laugh.
Yep, yep, yep. Yep.
Oh man!
And
but he says that, and it's the rise of sky.
Darkness, but darkness rises the light
to meet it.
What's to meet it,
I think,
yeah,
something like that, yeah,
yeah. So it could be that, and one of the weird things is Mark Hamill is nowhere to be found at Celebration, right?
Yeah, that. I
thought
Driver,
he was just
right.
Yeah, and I was thinking, man, you know, Mark, he was on Twitter saying he wasn't going to be there, but I thought maybe he was just playing around. But no, he literally wasn't at the Episode 9 panel, which was just really weird to me. But you know, I'm wondering, because he does tend to open his mouth a lot on social media and in interviews, if Disney just put the kibosh on him and said, hey, we're just going to hold you back for a little while, you know, not let you say anything. Or it could be like they're purposely trying to mislead us,
right,
as in, you know, you don't see Luke. He's just talking, ha, 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 sort of similar to The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fool you again, so we're not going to put Mark Hamill out there, but he's really going to be in the movie a lot.
I'll tell you this much. This is what I hope. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
this is pretty much, I mean, this is the third act in the trilogy. Just like Return of the Jedi was, you know, it tied up its loose ends in the, you know, kind of like in the beginning of the movie. And then it focused on the final battle, the final coming, you know, at the very end. And you got one final hoorah with your three main characters, your three leads.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of get that in Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is still a culmination of the entire prequel trilogy. That was the whole point of the trilogy was that moment, was the last movie.
Yeah.
So it becomes a big event. So with this movie is as low key as the trailer, as the teaser was, and I'm sure the trailer probably will only give so much more. I feel that if this movie doesn't deliver on the, because of it's really marketing the fact that it's ending the Skywalker saga. So if you're doing that, it's got to end on a bang, right? It's got to have a big event in it. So I wonder what, I mean, I feel like they gave a tease of what that's going to be in the trailer, but you know, it's still, I hope that we're just in for a bigger ride and way bigger surprises than we can fathom right now.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and talk about the big gorilla in the corner over there. that the very end of the trailer, when they show the title, you hear the maniacal laugh of Emperor Palpatine.
Sheev Palpatine from Naboo.
So if you were watching the celebration panel and, you know, everybody left off stage. They rolled the lights on the trailer. The trailer comes up. It finishes. Emperor's laughing. Everything goes dark and black.
Yep.
They bring the lights back up and shine it straight on the stage. And guess who's standing there?
Ian
McDermott. And he said something like, "Roll it again," in his Emperor.
Roll it again.
Voice.
Yep.
Oh man, that gave me the chills when he did that. And then they showed the trailer again. Yeah. I think if you're bringing out Ian McDermott and onto the celebration stage and you're teasing his laugh at the very end of the trailer, he's in it more than just a cameo shot. Right. He is the main baddie in this movie, and he's in it from the beginning.
Exactly. But I just hope it's in a satisfying way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I know that if it's done wrong, people are just going to riot at this movie. But, like, you know, it's just it's interesting to see how they handle that, because I feel like it's probably going to be in a very very unexpected way. But, no, I'm definitely down for it. I'm super, super ecstatic about it. I just wonder, because, you know, the line is, you know, no one's ever truly gone. And then he laughs and all that. And, you know, I just wonder, like how they're going to, I don't know. I guess I wonder how this is all going to, how it's all going to tie up, you know, now if they bring him back.
Yeah.
Because this is a point, like Candy brought up to me. She was like, or she said something about, that would just be kind of cool, though, if he just happened to, like, you know, because now Snoke's gone, he wandered back into the picture somehow. I said, let me tell you something. Palpatine never, if he's there, he didn't just pop up. He didn't just wander there. I said, he's been there from the beginning.
Yes, he has. I think so too.
This is probably a big master plan this whole time. It was all a big thing for Palpatine to either come back or to live on in some way, either through a clone or an avatar or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're listening to this podcast, you are a serious Star Wars fan and you do more than just watch the movies, right? You probably dabble in collecting, maybe read a comic or a novel. And, you know, they've been kind of setting this up since the beginning.
Yeah, they have. I mean, even if you look at the Aftermath trilogy, I feel like the Aftermath books themselves have been kind of setting up a lot of stuff. I mean, not only did I think somehow it was like setting up the Mandalorian TV show, but I feel like it also is setting up for, like you said, that big plan because I'm forgetting, it was something Ashes or something, right? Project Ash?
Yes, it was like a plan B. if everything went to crap.
Right. And so it was basically just get rid of it. It was like burn it all. And of course they, you know, to start the First Order in the unknown regions, but the whole plan on Jakku and stuff like that in the books at the very end of it. I wonder if that somehow ties into the movies, into the third movie.
Some of Battlefront 2.
Battlefront 2, right.
Where you see the avatars with the Emperor's hologram inside of them.
Right, exactly. Which those orders. Also came from the Aftermath trilogy. Yep.
Yep. Given orders. Even there was a book, was it the Phasma book? Or maybe I'm thinking about one of the Aftermath books that talks about the creation of the First Order and the, you know, go find all these little babies and start hiding them out. And
well, yeah, that was Aftermath.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm getting my stuff confused.
Yeah. Cause that was all explained in the final Aftermath book. And so I feel like that, and that book, you know, because it ends with the Battle of Jakku, I feel like Jakku is a more important place. I mean, it really ties everything together, I guess, because, you know, you have that graveyard out there. Luke was out there at some point. So maybe that point is brought up in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that. I mean,
And two, maybe Lucasfilm isn't as stupid as people think, and maybe there was like this kind of broad stroke outline for the sequel trilogy. You know, maybe it changed quite a bit throughout, but maybe there was this, hey, this we're going to start the movie and then we're going to end it with Palpatine, right? He's got to be the baddie. And you know, maybe a bunch of stuff changed in between, but maybe, because it certainly looks from a distance like after The Force Awakens and you started getting these Aftermath books, there was certainly this tinge of Palpatine's still has his little grimy hands controlling things from beyond the grave.
Yeah, I mean, no, definitely. You know? I mean, that's the thing is he's always there. I mean, he had a plan. He had everything. I mean, it's you know, I mean, even though we want to say that, oh, the Emperor's dead and gone, well, who's the next one? I mean, it could very well be that he's still the puppet master in all this, and that's what this trailer presents.
And if he comes back, all the possibilities, who else could come back, you know?
Oh, yeah. And also,
could we be seeing Hayden Christensen?
I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, that's the event I'm talking about. Like, everybody talks about these rumors that are, you know, either debunked or they come up and they're rumors and they never confirm them. Or, you know, it's just all basically like fantasy. Like, people say, oh, there's rumor that Darth Vader's going to be in the movie. You know, Hayden Christensen's going to come back. They're saying that all the Force ghosts are going to come back and it's going to be like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and they're going to morph their powers together and have a big, you know. I'm like, look, I mean, we don't know. I mean, but it probably will be some big event in this movie. But I'll tell you, I do like the route it's going. Like, I didn't really, because I've kind of been off the Star Wars hype train for a little bit, waiting for the new movies, because I didn't really want to get excited until it was time to get excited. It's like now is the time. But like,
yes, it is.
But now, like, getting to see this and really, and with JJ talking about it and me seeing kind of how everything's unfolding, you can really see the parallels. I mean, this is the thing. This is what I'm expecting to see. And, you know, I could be wrong and people may hate this idea, but I think it's fine. So there, you know, Star Wars is always a poem. There's always rhythm and there's a beat. So with this is like the Return of the Jedi. This is the third act. So, you know, like I said, we're probably going to tie up some loose threads in the beginning. Like you said, with maybe her heritage, maybe something like, I think they're going to tie up some loose threads on Jakku first. Like Tatooine was in the original trilogy. Tatooine was the planet we circled back around to tie up the loose thread with Han Solo.
Yeah.
And also, it's sort of like Luke kind of going back and, you know, I don't know. I guess in some way, it's like him kind of going back and claiming his birthright or, you know, kind of claiming his manhood. Like, he goes to that planet to show off that he has now become a Jedi, you know, the planet that he grew up on. So, and that's where he got his teachings from. He got them from Obi-Wan's hut and all that, you know. So it's just a symbolic place to go and tie those loose ends up. And then the rest of the parts of the movie, you know, is all dedicated to the rollout of the final act. So this movie is probably going to follow that same path where we're going to tie up a loose end on Jakku maybe and then go to the base and then tie up stuff there. And then, like he said, they are heroes all go on an adventure together. An adventure, you know, what are they going to do against total evil, you know, or complete evil or whatever, you know? So I assume that they're all going to band together and have to go on this big mission like Luke, Han, and Leia had to in Jedi. So, yeah. So I'm getting kind of psyched about that. And then you throw in friggin', I mean, Lando Calrissian flying the Falcon with Chewie and just like, yeah, you know, and like, dude, that moment.
That's one of the, that's one of the moments I teared up.
Yeah. That moment I literally was like teared happy up. Tears. Like I was so joyful in that moment. I didn't realize because that was the moment I realized how much I wanted Lando in the movie. Because before this, I was you know, I was happy he was there, but it wasn't hitting me yet. But now it's like I'm so excited that he's in this movie.
And here's the question. You don't see Rey, Finn, Poe in that shot. It's just Chewie and Lando flying the Falcon.
Right.
So does that mean they're coming in the final battle to help kind of deal? Like, you know, they separate a little bit to go on a separate path to meet back in at the middle, sort of like in Return of the Jedi when Luke went his way, Han, Leia, and Chewie went their way with the Ewoks, you know, and then they all come back at the end,
right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that's what happens in this instance, and you know, maybe they're leading the charge with a bunch of other ships behind them. I don't know, but let me circle back for a second to what you're talking about on Jakku, Tatooine, whatever we think it is, sand planet. So the way I understand from reading online how JJ shoots a movie, he sort of shoots it kind of like it's laid out in the film, right? Unless, you know, you got, you know, just schedules conflict.
You're
or something.
Saying he tries and, to shoot it in chronological order?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
With, you know, a few quirks here and there. But the final photo we got a few weeks ago with Rey, Poe, and Finn hugging, you know, and they said, this is final day of shooting. This is kind of a sad moment. Everybody loves each other. Don't want to leave, blah, blah, blah. They're on the sand planet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's the final day of shooting and JJ's sticking to his normal routine, that's the end of the movie. That's the planet that we're on at the end of the movie.
Right. And it could be. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if that's like the final, like the base that they fight from. Like that's where they stay at. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they would do that again, like the first movie.
But that's why I'm saying I don't know if Rey goes back to Jakku to reconcile any differences, because I think that she learns all that at the beginning of the movie right there from Leia. I kind of believe that Leia's going to tell her what she is, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not thinking right, let's go back to the Aftermath books. There was something on Jakku where the Emperor, it's almost like these weird monks or something trying to resurrect Palpatine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or doing something, but it was on Jakku.
Yeah.
Right? In this big hole in the ground, kind of underground thing.
Something like that. So I've been meaning to read that trilogy again, because especially now that this feels like it's really starting to tie in, I want to start reading these things and see if I can find any hints. But, yeah, it's something like that where, I mean, cause that particular spot was there. He chose that for a reason on Jakku, and it was something to do with the Force or something.
Yeah. So it just, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that would happen that way, but you know, I'm sure they're not going to like, hey, we got to follow this book here
right,
for this movie.
but God, man, I mean, the fact that I'll tell you one thing, I do hope that we get like a grand battle like we had in Return of the Jedi, where you've got, I mean, you know, one of those things where they're throwing everything they've got at the First Order, like a big diversionary kind of battle.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw that there was like some desperation. You see like some A-wings going down and stuff in the trailer, and it looked really beautiful and sad. But like, you know, I really do hope that we have some more like legendary battles, because that was one thing JJ really, really brought to The Force Awakens, in my opinion, was he took like parts of that movie were like total fanboy moments where he was playing with his toys. So like he made those space battles so great, like all the ship battles. He did all the ground battle stuff with the stormtroopers. He really showed off like all the weapons, like Chewie's bowcaster. So
yeah,
I feel like now that we've got him back for this movie, he's just going to go even more into that realm. So it's just going to be like 70s JJ, where he's just going into his toy box, into his Star Wars box, and just playing with all the toys the way he envisioned action scenes playing out with them. I mean, that's all you can hope for, you know what I'm saying? But you still want to make it fun, make it just a popcorn flick at the end of the day. I mean, have your moments, the movie has to have a meaning, has to have a purpose, but also don't forget that this movie is entertainment for kids, you know what I'm saying? So you want to have some great, you know, it's Star Wars, so you want to have some great wars in the stars, and you want to have space battles and fights on ground and you know, lightsabers. And And I feel like we see Rey chopping down a friggin' TIE interceptor in this one. So,
oh yeah, who do you think's in that ship?
Oh, you think maybe it's Kylo in the TIE?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You look at the black gloves; they don't look like.
I was looking at it. Like I told Candy, yeah. See, and I thought that too. And I told Candy, I said, I said that
no,
huh?
If you're looking at the trailer, don't focus on the hands. Look behind the hands. You might like on the clothes, chest.
Right? His tunic.
Yeah, on the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was smooth, right? So it was like Kylo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be Kylo.
Well, see, that's what it's I was thinking. Be Kylo. I pointed that out to Candy, and I said, what most likely is happening there is either a Force vision, or this really is like maybe either one of the final fights, or this might be just like something that happens on the at the beginning of the movie, like they tangle or somebody tangle. I mean, something must go down. But I was thinking it was either like a dream, you know, sort of like a vision that she's having where she's facing off against him, and then she pulls off that maneuver, or somehow I just felt like it must have been. But then again, I don't know. Like, would he?
But what's the purpose? I mean, why isn't he shooting at her?
Right, exactly. Why isn't he like on the ground fighting her? I mean, but you know, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's almost like part of me doesn't want to think about it too much, because then I'll probably figure it out before the movie comes out. And I want that to just be this amazing moment that just unfolds. Like maybe it's just her chopping down TIE fighters in the movie. I don't
Yeah.
You know.
But you know, this trailer was really reminiscent of the Force Awakens first trailer.
Yep.
Because if you remember that, I mean, it started out the Lucasfilm title, and then boom, you see Finn on Jakku breathing real heavy. And of course, this one starts Lucasfilm, and boom, there's Rey breathing real heavy on Jakku. So very similar. And I'm sure that's on purpose, just to get you hyped for the. Oh God, I'm so hyped for this thing, man. I can't even talk right now. I mean, I'm having hard enough time trying to find words to describe how I feel after watching that thing. I was so, when we saw Lando, I was joyful, like you said, and it made me tear up. And then when the Emperor's laugh at the very end, I just went banana. I was like hollering. But luckily, I was by myself in the house, but I was like hollering loud.
I was squealing.
Yeah. Oh, it was so great. So there's another little scene that makes you kind of teary too. And that scene is all you see is hands, but you see a medal. You see, and I'm assuming this is Leia holding the medal that she gave Han in A New Hope.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that this movie will also give us sort of closure on Han's death in a way that The Last Jedi didn't. I understand that The Last Jedi takes place moments probably after The Force Awakens, so there really wasn't time to mourn Han properly, because the First Order's like right on their tail.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe JJ's giving us a little fan service here and saying maybe now is a good time that we get to really mourn the death of Han Solo.
Right. Well, because see, that was what that I think he had filmed those scenes in Force Awakens. They were like a memorial to Han. And
yeah. They didn't use yeah. them.
So I'm sure that's going to be what those are, is like the original sequences that they were going to use. And then, of course, you've got the there was something else in there. I was going to comment. There was like a something. I mean, it didn't. I guess it. I don't want to say it bothered me, but like, well, let me comment on the lightsaber. Like, how do you feel about like her still like continuing to use the old Anakin Skywalker lightsaber?
Well, I mean, you can see where she fixed it. There's this black band right. around it,
which we right. talked about that and said that hopefully it's like a like she can extend it into like a staff.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really bother me that she's still using that. I think it means more towards the fact that she is a Skywalker.
Right.
That she's still using that saber because it called to her, right? And I think that information is enough to tell us that she is a Skywalker. It's just which side of the twins
right.
is she on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of I'm just a little bit disappointed that we just didn't get like a, like, I don't know, just have her own unique lightsaber. I don't know. I would have really dug that, which I'm sure I'm sure her story will probably continue after this movie. I mean, I don't know if they'll continue it in movie form, but, you know, I'm sure there'll be books. And then she'll probably end up, you know, maybe getting a different lightsaber if she loses the one she has. But that would be cool, though. I mean, like, just to her to have her own, just like Luke had his own, because I love Luke's, you know.
Well, you know, I depending on if she survives this movie, we don't know. You know, I think that her story will live on, even though this is the end of the Skywalker saga. And Bob Iger did come out yesterday and say that Star Wars is going to be taking a little hiatus at the box office after The Rise of Skywalker comes out. I think they just want to kind of focus on the Disney Plus subscription service and focus their Star Wars efforts there for a little while before, like you said, bringing back Rian Johnson's new trilogy and the Game of Thrones guy's new trilogy. He said they're still in pre-production. They still have Star Wars movies that are in production or various stages. It's just, we're going to let that breathe for a little while before we bring anything back. But if you, after the panels, if you start listening to some of these interviews with like Oscar Isaac and John Boyega, you kind of get the hint that maybe this isn't the last we've seen of these characters. So, John Boyega comes onto the Star Wars show set live at Star Wars Celebration, and they do some talking, and he throws out this weird, thing out of the blue. It's like, I love the character of Finn, and I've already told Lucasfilm that I'll keep playing him as long as you let me. Okay, kind of clue number one. Clue number two, Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaac comes out onto the Star Wars show stage, and he kind of hints around that this is it for now. I think his words were, we're wrapping up this movie and this will be it for our characters for now. Maybe he shouldn't have said that for now, or maybe there's a slip of the tongue. I don't know, but he did say for now, which means maybe there are plans later on to bring these people back. Maybe one of these upcoming trilogies will focus on these characters. Who knows? But does it mean it's the end of this? I don't know. I don't know how to take that. It's just odd that they both said that same similar thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But if you get a chance, I know you said you missed most of the day, but definitely go back later this week and watch like the full first day, Friday, and it's towards the end of the day, around 5 p.m. our time. So it's probably the last quarter of that. And you can see some of these interviews, and to listen to the way they talk is very kind of hinty at something else down the road. But because I can't imagine in this Marvel universe that we live in today, that they would use these three people for just three films, you know?
Right.
I think they bring them back. Holy cow.
I will say this in closing, this is just my opinion on it, but I just think that if they are the three, like they are our three, they should, I mean, this sounds bad, but I feel like they shouldn't die. None of them. They should be able to live on and have future stories. You know what I'm saying?
Because it
wouldn't be fair otherwise. I mean, even though I'm trying to think, because technically Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan were like the three of the prequel trilogy, and we all know where that turns up.
Well, one of them died.
Right, for sure. You know, and so, yeah, maybe that's a bad thing to say, but at the same time, I just feel like that was the magic of the original trilogy, and that's kind of what we're basing off of. Like, we're kind of going off that formula. You know, it works when you have a trilogy of a trio, you know, of stars, of leaders who you'll follow, you know, from here to eternity, and you want to know their story. You want to keep following them. So yeah, it would be a shame if one of them, one or two or all three of them died. You know, that would suck.
Yeah, and I can't imagine. That would be end on a downer, too.
Yeah.
You know, ending the whole saga on a downer. And I think you have to end it on an upbeat note here. Because Revenge of the Sith ended on a downer. Return of the Jedi ended upbeat. Hopefully, Rise of Skywalker will follow suit. Also, in the trailer, we actually get to see that our three main characters are together.
Yep.
Throughout the film. And JJ even said that on stage, that was part of the plan, is to have them all together throughout the film. So that's a good thing, because a lot of fans have been complaining that they are never have ever all three been together at any point throughout any of the films, you know? So it seems like they are definitely on a mission together through the whole film. Some other scenes on Tatooine / Jakku, whatever that desert planet is. It looks like they're Poe and Finn and 3PO are on some sort of desert skiff type craft. And doesn't it look like 3PO is sort of acting like a pirate, hanging on to the pole there? And then he puts his hand up over his head like he's looking out towards the horizon.
Man.
Do you remember that part I'm talking
about? Oh, yeah, I know for sure.
Yeah, and if you look really close, there's stormtroopers with jetpacks on, flying after them. That's what they're running from.
Man,
holy cow!
I'm telling you, I can't wait for this.
Holy cow! I can't believe that. Okay, so have we covered pretty much all the no, we haven't.
No, there's like the biggest elephant in the room that we haven't addressed yet.
Yeah, the biggest elephant. a huge piece of the Death Star is laying on some planet. Yep. What do you think that planet is?
That's the thing. And me and Candy had the biggest conversation. This was the biggest thing we talked about, because I started getting all scientific about it. And I was like, I guess it depends on which Death Star we're talking about here. Is this Death Star 1 or Death Star 2? Because Death Star 1 blew up over Yavin 4. The other one blew up over the moon of Endor. These are two different locations, Candy. So I'm like, these are obviously
dealing with.
This is obviously probably a new planet. So, you know. The
piece. Maybe
I'm saying the reason I say this, you know, it's not like it's not the moon of Endor, it's not Yavin 4, I wouldn't think, because it's probably just going to be a new planet. And of course, it was an explosion, so the pieces are going to keep going until they hit something. So I'm sure this piece probably just kept floating in space until it hit this planet,
or it was
floating and somebody picked it up and moved it to that planet. But it looks more to me like it landed there somehow, like it just,
yeah, it looks it like does.
It's not there intentionally, I guess you'd say it looks more like it's supposed to be, you know, it landed there.
Oh, no. What if this Death Star is fully operational?
What if he says that? What if he pops up in this movie? We have the big showdown. Palpatine's back. We're on the submerged Death Star. It's like Death Star 3 underwater, you know, under siege. And then, like, that's what we, you know, he says that to Rey. He's like, you'll find, your friends will find that this battle station's fully operational. You'll press the button, and then it just comes up out the water, and we didn't realize it. And it's like, you know, it looks like the prototype Death Star from the original canon. But that's really cool. I'm just wondering, yeah, like you said, I wonder what planet, where that's at, and... Wow, you know, what's the significance of that? Does that play a big part? Because I imagine it does. Like, that's the big thread. Like, that's the thing that really comes together is that, we got to mention the Death Star again, because the Death Star was, you know, because I bet this is how they're going to connect the prequels. In the prequels had things that hinted towards the original trilogy. They were like set up, and a lot of it was the Death Star, right? So yeah. You have the Death Star is hinted at two different times in the prequel trilogy, and then it's shown two different times in the original trilogy, and then you have a bigger version of it in the first movie of this trilogy. So in the final movie, it's like they have to, I guess, because of there was a Death Star 2, they have to bring that back somehow.
Oh.
You know, or like, but they have to mean, hey, it has to, something has to be in its place. There has to be some symbol of a Death Star in this movie, I guess. You know, be it if it was like a, like they said, a World Devastator or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, but if you think about it and you look at Starkiller Base, it has all the signs of Palpatine's fingers at play. That's what he does, you know? He built two Death Stars, and now he's building something bigger and badder than the Death Star, to take control. I don't know. The sky's the limit with this movie. I mean, we don't, you know, that's what I love about this thing coming out 8 months before. We have so much to talk about, so many theories to throw out. And we have 8 months to do it before we get to see this final film. And I think, you know, I think as fans, we ought to just take these 8 months and not wish them away. I think we ought to breathe it in and enjoy it, right? Because this might be it for a while, you know, not saying that, at least this might be it for a while with all of the characters that we know and that we love, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think we should just breathe in the air and take in all the cool fan theories and the talk that we do about this over the course of the next 8 months, and just enjoy the ride while it lasts before we wish away all our time. Another thing that I kind of want to bring out is something that the one thing I didn't really like about the trailer. And maybe this thing will grow on me and I'll love it. Dio. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. The droid they were trying to push out.
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't.
And, you know, he came out.
I wasn't too big on him.
He came out on the panel. It didn't look. It's like a ball with like a dog. You know, it's trying to look like a dog. A robot dog.
Pretty much. And basically, when he said Dio, I just kept thinking of like, Holy Diver. I just kept thinking of like Ronnie James Dio every time they kept saying his name.
Rocking out. Yeah. Like, but yeah, I know this is probably the cute attempt at the film, you know, to make the little kids like the film is, you know, Dio. Rough, rough, rough. I like BB-8. It just didn't do anything for me. Maybe the film will prove me wrong, or maybe I'm just a little bit over the cutesy stuff right now. I don't know, but you know, shoot, I'm saying I don't like him right now. I'll probably have like 15 different Dio figures and a freaking statue and everything else after they movie comes out.
Probably. I mean, I just didn't see it. He wasn't that significant to me. I mean, they were trying to make kind of, you know, draw attention to him. And I mean, he was okay. He looked more like a neat little background droid, like something that was just thrown together and put in the far background to just move around. But I didn't see star quality out of him, I guess is the word.
I don't know. Some of the rumors I've been hearing, man.
Rumors what?
About episode 9. You know, even before this little droid was announced, you know, a few weeks ago, we kind of knew who this guy was. And some of the rumors are just pointing to him being a bigger part than what you think.
But what's the rumor?
Like, well, just that, dude, I don't even want to say it. Because if it's not true, you know, I don't want that to come back. But if it is true, then it's a huge kind of spoiler. And I don't want to do that to people. Because it's really big, you know. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to ruin your innocence, Austin. I don't want to do that to you. But I'm sure if you Google hard enough, or not very hard at all, you'll read some interesting stuff about him on Reddit, basically. God, I hate Reddit. I hate Reddit with a passion. And I hate people who post links to Reddit that I have to read. Just gets on my nerves. But no, seriously. So we've talked 50 minutes about just this trailer, this a minute and 30 second trailer. which is absolutely crazy. I mean, but it was so exciting.
I knew that's what was going to happen. It was just, I knew it.
And yeah, but we got some other stuff that we need to hit up to. That was cold, man. you shouldn't be texting me images during the live podcast.
I know it's so unprofessional, man. I knew I was like, I want to see if I can trip him up, but I didn't even know if you'd have your phone on you.
No, I do. I saw this earlier. It's like somebody put together three images into one. First, it shows old Lando say, "I'm gonna get my shit back," and then it shows young Han said, "Over my dead body," and then it shows you a pic of Lando in the new trailer flying the Millennium Falcon.
It's just that face he's making at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, guess who's back. Dead?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. That's just so good. I can't get enough of that.
So, before we go, let's talk about a few more things that sort of came out of Star Wars Celebration to this point. One, there was a little on the Star Wars show stage. I think, was it? I can't remember who was interviewing, but they interviewed a guy from Respawn, who's in charge of doing Jedi Fallen Order, and he gave away a couple of posters, first posters of the game.
Nice. Yeah, I got to see that poster, which looks really good.
Yeah, but he also gave just a hint of information about the upcoming game, and apparently this is a solo adventure. There's no multiplayer component to this game at all.
Oh, nice.
It's totally solo, and there will not be any microtransactions at all.
Sweet.
Yay. So I know this makes a lot of people happy. Of course, that's all the information they gave, because they have a panel tomorrow specifically to reveal Jedi Fallen Order to everybody at Star Wars Celebration and everybody who's watching the live stream on YouTube. So we'll get to see more of that. In other news, if you've noticed on Twitter and Facebook, people are posting pictures like crazy of everything at Star Wars Celebration Chicago. On display was a speeder bike that will be seen in The Mandalorian. Did you see this photo?
Yeah, I got to see that. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really cool. It's kind of reminiscent of the thing that Anakin used in Attack of the Clones when he was on Tatooine looking for his mom.
Oh, like the swoop bike that he flew on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one looks more like this. It's got, like, to me, it's more of like the old swoop function, like the swoop design, but it also has that front of a speeder bike.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you could probably technically say it's a swoop, but they're saying it's speeder bike, right? And does it say if it's First Order or if it's a Republic, a Resistance speeder?
It doesn't say, but it does give the maker of the speeder. I can't remember. Like Marquette, something J. I can't remember. It's new, so I don't have it off the top of my head right now. We'll know more Sunday at the Mandalorian panel, which is happening at Star Wars Celebration. And that'll be very interesting too. I've been hearing a lot of things about the Mandalorian, such as, takes place a lot on Tatooine, which is kind of cool. And there are several bounty hunters that we know and love that will be in this show. Have you heard this one?
Mm-mm.
So apparently Dengar will be making an appearance.
Nice.
Of course, we've seen IG-88's head or an IG droid's head, but the rumor mill is saying IG-88 will appear in it. And also Bossk will be making an appearance, and he'll have like a big part in the show. Yay. Which is my fave because I love Bossk for some reason. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I just liked him when I was little. So I've always liked him. And, I think was it Zuckuss?
Yeah. I get
Zuckuss. Yeah, but there's one of the bounty hunters is not going to be in it, or they hadn't said. But so that's going to be cool. Now, this is all rumors, but it came from a strong source, so I'm hoping it turns out to be true. Like I said, we'll find out a lot more Sunday. And for those that don't know, Disney did drop information about the Disney Plus streaming service. It will be available November 12th. And The Mandalorian will be available the day that Disney Plus drops. And guess what? Guess how much it will cost you per month? $6.99.
That's good.
You can't beat that.
But see, I'm wondering, though, if that's like the starting price. I wonder if they're going to have like, but if you want to have like unlimited access, 4K, yeah, and blah, 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 it's probably going to be like $12 or $14.
Well, they didn't say anything about 4K. They said $6.99 a month, or if you order for 12 months, it's $69.99.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
So you save some money.
Yeah,
you save some money.
I guess there will be – so I wonder – but see, that would be a question unless somebody did ask them, but if there will be tiered pricing, or if it's just this one tier that you either pay monthly or pay yearly for a lesser sum.
You know, Bob Iger kind of spilled all the details about it 2 days ago or yesterday. I can't remember. These days are running together. And that wasn't mentioned. He laid out everything. He showed a demo. I don't know. Have you seen any of the way it looks and stuff online?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of that.
Yeah, because they kind of demoed it, showed you how everything looks and works. And then he gave the pricing on it and all that stuff. So, and he didn't mention anything about tiered pricing. So that's good. And of course, you can expect The Mandalorian on the day it drops. The Clone Wars will be coming. Who knows when that is? Probably early 2020, I would imagine. New episodes of that. Then after that, you have Cassian Andor's series, which Alan Tudyk was also announced as part of that series, so he'll be reprising his role as K2SO for the Cassian Andor series, which is I thought was probably going to be a given, and it's surprising Disney is really throwing money at this thing. The Mandalorian, there's 10 episodes, $10 million an episode.
Oh wow,
is their budget. So yeah, there's going to be CGI, and I guarantee it's going to look top notch.
I just feel like we're now in that age, I bet now, where it's obtainable, like to make a show like on that kind of a scale, like on a tight budget, because you see stuff with Game of Thrones and stuff now. I mean, these shows are just so. I think after Star Wars, I think after The Mandalorian and all that, there's no longer going to be a line between movies and TV shows anymore. It's just like you can do everything in a show that you can do in a movie.
Yeah,
I'm just saying they're gonna. I feel like they're really if they kind of stay where like because Lucasfilm was always sort of ahead of the game in terms of special effects and all that. If they really hold to that, and you know you see this huge shift in audience that jumps on this Disney platform and really enjoys these Star Wars shows. I mean, it'll just go. I feel like it's just sad. It's not sad, but it's just it's like there's no more line between movies and shows, TV shows. Because you know, back then, it's always you got what you got on TV, and then you get movies were always the big step up, and now it's no longer like that.
No, that's true. That's true. But I think Disney is throwing some mad money at these shows in the beginning to prove that that Disney Plus is going to work and be viable. Whether they continue to throw money just depends on how well the streaming service is received, right? Because back when George was in charge of doing the Clone Wars cartoon, he was throwing mad money at it, but he didn't care. It was his money, right? Way more than any other cartoon per episode around at that time. You know, I mean, they were spending way more than any other cartoon. So this is not George Lucas's money anymore, and this is not George Lucas. This is Disney. Whether they want to throw mad money at it, you know, they have to answer to shareholders and crap like that. So who knows? I don't know. I don't know. Wow. So we've actually gone over the hour mark tonight.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
We're going to get a huge fine.
We are. We're going to get fined so hard. All right. You know, we say we're going to record this disclaimer at the end, and we never do prior to the show. So, Austin, are you ready to read your disclaimer?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'll start. If you haven't visited us, find us at www.outerrimnews.com. And today, Friday, April 12th, surprisingly, has been our biggest day ever as far as traffic to the site. I wonder why. Could it be because of some stupid trailer that just dropped? Interesting. But yes, it has been our biggest day historically ever at the site. You can also find us on Facebook, where we have a nice little group of people who love to talk about Star Wars on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Outer Rim News. You can find us on Twitter at Outer Rim News and at Outer Rim News on Instagram.
And also remember that this podcast is not endorsed or supported by Disney or Lucasfilm. It's all for entertainment purposes only. All the names and sounds we use, they're all copyright and registered trademarks of Disney and their respective copyright holders.
Yay! So, quickly before we leave, I want to give a big shout-out to the fine folks at Hasbro's marketing team for sending us preview copies of Star Wars The Black Series 6-inch Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi that are Celebration exclusives. Yep. They look excellent. Excellent. And if you're at Chicago and you have the opportunity and you're lucky to get in the lottery, do not sacrifice that lottery ticket. Use it so you can buy these figures. They are awesome. So, in your travels, I got through with Queen Shadow. Have you finished it?
Almost. I'm on chapter 16 or 17. Like, I'm getting into the last third of the book. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to recommend that anyway. So, sorry about that. I would suggest watching the live stream of Star Wars Celebration Chicago the next couple of days, because there's going to be a lot of new Star Wars information that is dropped. But if you can't do that, probably the second best thing you can do is stay tuned to OuterRimNews.com, where we will report it all. Austin?
Everybody get ready for Master and Apprentice next Tuesday. What? I'm ready.
All right. With that, that will do us for the Outer Rim News podcast. May the Force be with you.
Peace. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.